the more you invest into your customers, the more they invest in you and your industry. And in turn, that keeps everybody afloat and everybody is, you know, housed and fed, and it goes beyond that. And I would like for more companies to think that way, to think beyond the dollars and the customers. Think about how much you're investing into your own industry to keep it alive. And this is a fairly new, I know it's been around since 2014, but it's still a baby. And we have so much potential in shaping what this becomes.
Welcome to Between Two Mics.
I'm Zach.
And I'm Rock.
We're the co-founders of Squadcast.fm.
The best way to record remote interviews in studio quality like this one.
Here on Between Two Mics, we explore the challenges, opportunities, and new ideas with the people who are pushing the limits of what's possible in podcasting. Yeah, so Addy has been a friend of ours in the podcast community at lots of events, kind of in the beginning, and then just in the community in general now, in between those events on social media, having some fun. Really enjoyed the notebooks that you sent my way. I appreciate that. So we're really grateful that you're coming on the show. Addy, welcome to Between Two Mics.
I'm excited to be here. This is really cool to see, because I get the emails and I follow you guys on social and I like the podcast. So it's really exciting to actually be on the show.
We've been having fun with it and you know, talking to people who are really moving the needle, which you are kind of a prototypical example of. So you do a lot of work in the podcast community. And how I was introduced to you was the podcast planner. But you have Modern Vintage Radio. You also are, a force of nature at Simplecast, our podcast host of choice for Between Two Mics. So how did you get started in podcasting, and then how did it morph into your personal brand and then working more in the industry?
I got started with podcasting because I wanted to be in radio. And when I went to audio engineering school, looked around the room after, you know, the classroom's just full of people. And I think we all experienced this on the first day of school, like everybody's there. And at the time there was probably, I would say like five other girls in the class, whereas like the majority were men. And I was like, whoa, this is kind of different. And then midway through the semester, it was just me and some other girl. And I'm like, okay, this is how it plays out. Like, what happens? And then sure enough, as I continued to go through that school and try to intern to excel my learning and my career in audio engineering and radio, hopefully, I soon realized that was almost, it's going to be a hard wall to like break through. And then at that time, I was already listening to podcasts and found that as I was purchasing a mixer and microphones, I was like, what is preventing me from just having my own show and not having to, number one, ask for permission? And number two, it's going to give me the experience I'm going to need if I finally do land a radio interview. I can say, look, I have this podcast. So it's funny. I continue to pursue podcasting and just forgot about radio.
Have you forgot about it though? Or, you know, it sounds like it's still somewhat of a love of yours. So, and it holds a special place in your heart. So is there still, I don't want to say like an end game, but still, is radio still in the plans to some degree?
It comes down to having conversations like we're having, and, it's changed, you know, talk radio changed a lot of my life in working for a company that didn't allow for like Windows and like music, top 40 music was just boring. But then talk radio and podcasting really changed my mental state of learning stuff while I was working and doing all these things. So it just comes down to the conversations that are being had, the stories that are being shared, the knowledge that's being shared. And I think that's why, regardless of the platform, whether it's on a radio, and I really actually hope that radio starts adopting more conversations and have a nice balance between music and talk radio, because it just seems like it's very heavy on the top 40. And it makes sense because, you know, it's advertising money. And then they do this weird math there that I, you know, I can go on a different tangent when it comes to that. But when it comes to the platforms, it's primarily my focus is has been completely committed to podcasting and moving that forward.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I mean, clearly by what you've done for podcasting shows that, by, you know, creating the work that is the podcast planner. So, what got you started with that? That must've been an interesting endeavor to take on.
Yeah, it was unexpected for sure, because through this trial and error, I just started podcasting and found a lot of errors in between. And then I got offered to do some podcasting, both paid, so podcasting for others, and then getting my footing with everything, the production side, the marketing side, I started taking on my own clients for those that were interested in podcasting. And while I was working with clients, I would create these, you know, documents from scratch on Google Doc or on Pages and send it over to them. And multiple times it kept saying, like, you should just put this in a book. And because I worked with a lot of entrepreneurs and authors, and they kind of had that mindset that I didn't have. And I just said, well, no, I would always laugh it off and just jokingly like say, yeah, someday. And then one of them just challenged me, like, you should really look into it, take some time for yourself and just put it together and see what happens. So sure enough, the year was 2016. I spent that whole year just learning not how to put what my knowledge is and how I teach and would have my clients go through these different formats to help them shape their show, shape their mental state into, I want to start a podcast, but how is it going to contribute to the bigger picture of what they're working with? And not only that, I had to figure out, you know, self-publishing and the whole methods of that all comes with, and the marketing, knowing how to distribute on Amazon and other places like Barnes and Noble. So it was a crazy journey.
Well, it seems like you cracked that code though. I mean, it is a very popular piece of literature amongst podcasters who are looking to improve and do it well. So I think you set a great example there. And I'm wondering, like, okay, so there was that initial hurdle to get your already awesome work together into a publishable book. But then also you mentioned, you know, the marketing and the promotion, and I imagine, you know, podcasting has its benefits there. So like, what was that, that transition like once you had published it? Was it immediately like successful, or was it like a slow ramp up, which is more typical, my understanding, or how did that go for you?
It was successful in that when I launched it, somebody bought it. So, and I think I have
mission
to
accomplished. Right? It's always a good sign. Yeah, helping people. That's good.
It's just always amazing where you just finally turn the switch on, and then you know, at the time when it went live, which was January 17th, 2017. So it's like an easy date for me to remember. And a couple sales came through and I was just super excited. But it didn't come out of just me turning on the switch. It happened because I made relationships within the podcasting space. I intentionally created an email list, you know, hyping up that the launch was coming soon, sharing some, you know, behind the scenes of it coming together, and really leveraging those two, and also social media. Not doing a hard push, but just, again, sharing what you're working on, talking to your friends about it in the podcasting space. That's what I attribute to that. When I finally turned the switch on, I got sales more than just one versus nobody when you first launch it, which is always the fear that we all have, right? When we launch the podcast or when we launch anything that we're working on.
Yeah. And the, you know, it's the opportunity there for, you know, books about podcasting, how many were out? And then you're now amongst like an elite few that have actual, like, you know, usable things. There's a lot of dated material out there, I think, in this topic. But, you know, it wouldn't seem necessarily intuitive where it's like, okay, if you want to launch your successful career in podcasting, start with a book. You know, it seems counterintuitive. So were you thinking about it like that? And also just, you know, respect on the strategy. I think a lot of people launching stuff, you know, don't put in that preparation to get the list together. So that shows, you know, you're starting from somewhere good with marketing.
Thanks. Yeah. The thought behind it was, when I was interested in podcasting, there was like one book and it was outdated, like you mentioned. And there was a few books that shared their strategy or their thought process behind it and theory, but not a lot of actionable advice or how to actually do it. So which is why I framed the podcast planner, the planner. It's more of a workbook than it is a textbook. There is no, if you wanted to read it from, you know, start to finish, you'd finish it like in an hour, or maybe less than that, like 15 minutes. Because it's a workbook. I want people to stop reading, stop watching videos, and stop, you know, consuming all this knowledge. And I want them to get to work. And that's what the planner is all about. It's about stop overthinking it, fill out these simple, very basic, yet super important and vital to your podcast fields. And that will just propel you a lot faster than the person who just has an idea about a podcast and they hit record on their computer or whatever device they're using. You're going to be far in advanced and see results a lot faster by just practicing these very, I don't know, you guys have seen the book. It's simple questions that you just fill out all the information. So that was my idea, is to get people to actually take action by providing templates that they can easily tap into their creativity, hit record, and have a comfortable feel into recording their episodes.
Yeah, it's definitely, they're simple steps, but it's not easy. And like, you know, podcasting isn't always that easy. And I think, you know, you like us have a unique perspective on that, given that, you know, your company, the company you work for, Simplecast, you know, provides a valuable service to podcasters, being able to host, you know, podcasters' feeds. So you get that, you have that perspective of seeing, you know, a lot of podcasters. What do you think are the main problems in for today's podcaster,
I think there's so much overload of information of how to start. And it's not knowing what exactly what's the best equipment that they need to start with. What is the best advice to get started with? So I think that's ultimately the first part is, whoa, I have all this information. I made a simple Google search and I see all of this list of advice. And some of it's outdated, some of it's contradictory. And then I think the second part is not really thinking about the bigger picture. People just see the hype. They hear about the hype, both on an independent level, so the normal hobbyist podcaster, and even on a B2B level. Companies see the trend. They hear Gary Vee always talking about podcasting, and they should get on it, get in on it too. But they don't think about the bigger picture of how it aligns with their company. How does it align with what's true to them? And what is the best way to strategize that and leverage it as an extension of who they are to further connect with, you know, their audience or their target audience or their customers? So I think that's as simple as it sounds, just taking a beat and asking yourself, like, where do I want this to go? How is it going to support everything that I want to see? What are the results that I want? And then that's just, that starts to shape the podcast in the right direction versus of, okay, well, we're going to start a podcast. Zach here, I don't know, just go buy the equipment you need and hit record on the next conversations you have about marketing your product. It's like, okay.
Well, and it makes sense why you would have made the workbook that you did, because that really helps address those two things of like, okay, the best way to do a to get better at a podcast, like anything, is to do it. Like, you can read as many books, and, you know, I think Jay-Z said, they read a lot of books. I lived a lot of life. So, you know, something like that, but then also kind of organizing it and, you know, getting it out of their head onto somewhere else and putting a plan together to actually, you know, build that momentum up and get better. So that's really cool that that kind of aligns with, you know, what you're doing and what the benefit that you're providing to podcasters. So that's really cool. Thank you.
Yeah, it acts as your North Star. We all need the North Star in making sure you're on the right path. And even if you need to pivot, you still know what exactly you need to change up and refine. But you need that baseline. Every house needs a foundation. Every car needs a frame. Like, those are the basics that we need. And that just takes us further. So that's, yeah, that's pretty much the basics there.
And then now transitioning into your work at Simplecast and kind of, you know, the bigger picture of your position within podcasting is really awesome to see, you know, you grow in a couple different ways. And then also, you know, an extension of the planner, you're doing a lot of educational content within your role at Simplecast. So I think that, you know, the webinars, we've learned a lot on the webinars that we've been fortunate enough to see. And then also, had the opportunity to be on one with Esprit, and I think you were moderating on that one. But you know, the team there makes it look easy. So how are you thinking about the content and the knowledge and the wisdom that you're putting into the webinar?
So pretty much it comes down from what am I seeing? Not only the frequently asked questions, and FAQs just give you a pulse check on, you know, where is the industry? How are they feeling? What are the problems that people continue to just, you know, they hit that wall time and time again. So how can you help them get past that? And so they can continue their podcast and get back on that mission that they planned. So I always look at that. I always take a look at what are the questions that we're getting inside our support channels? What are the emails that we're seeing? We have our famous Facebook groups out there. So there's multiple out there. So you can easily see the bird's eye view of what's happening, where are the struggles, and how can we help them? How can I help them? And it also comes from the experience that we went through. How can we share our knowledge to speed up somebody's process of learning and prevent them from all the going through the errors that I went through? So that's where I take I take that information and try to put it into bite size consumable information on the webinars, because you don't want to give, you don't want to go too deep, but you also don't want to go too shallow on the information. You don't want to be known as a clickbaity webinar session person. Same thing with blog posts. You don't want to do that too. You want to give enough information to have the reader or the watcher or the listener and leave them wanting more, because that's how you best learn, is keeping that curiosity alive.
And it's also like, you know, this issue exists to Rock's question about the challenges for, you know, podcasters now. One of them that is, you know, been the case for a while is this issue of pod fade. We all deal with it in the industry. It's pretty sad to see a lot of creative potential, you know, kind of devolving in that way. But I think the work that you're doing with the webinars and just the educational work that I've seen you do is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's also like the longevity to continue podcasting and to really say, okay, now I've launched, now I have a show, I have, you know, more than 10 episodes. Now I should, what should I care about now? And, you know, and that's where people like with Simplecast, that yes, it is a podcast host. But you know, once you've kind of set up your hosting, the usage is much more on the analytics and like understanding how people are getting value from your show. So that I think is one of the, you know, it's that transition to that helps with the longevity to be like, okay, now this is this ongoing process. I have a workflow. It's dialed in because I used your planner, but I want to continue podcasting and do that in a healthy way. That's going to allow me to not burn out or anything like that. So how do you think about longevity for podcasting?
So what I'm really proud of over at Simplecast is not that we just provide a hosting and everything that comes with it, like a website and all that. I really am proud to be part of the team because we invest in the podcaster's success, and which is why you get the webinars. And there's a bigger project that we're currently working on that I can't share too much, but everybody's going to be better for it, because it's all about podcast education. Is that you start a show, but there's so many avenues to podcasting that it's not just the tech, it's not just planning, it's the marketing, it's the legal side of things to help you grow successfully and not get taken down because some other company comes in with the same topic. Or, you know, there's just different avenues to podcasting, and we're getting ready to launch a separate project that's going to help podcasters address all these different avenues. And analytics, you brought up analytics. It's important that you understand what all those numbers mean beyond the download number trend. So a lot of podcasters focus on downloads going up or downloads going down. But what about all the other information that you have about the devices that people are using to listen to your show, the location, what episodes are most listened to? So which episodes are most listened to? And this just gives you a better insight to who's listening, who's your audience. And once you know who that is, you can further tap into them and have a greater connection with them and take them wherever you want them to take them. And I think that comes from leveraging not just having that bigger picture, but understanding your audience And then just keep publishing out that content and then pay attention to that, those analytics. I don't know if that answers your question, but like I was just, that the whole part about analytics just really helps everybody understand. I know they're just numbers to some, but those numbers hold a lot of gold for you.
It's super powerful, the insights that can be gathered there. And that's what I always tell people, because I didn't expect this when we first started out, but it's now a trend where people will ask us for our insights on what hosting company they should go with or anything like that at meetups or conferences or whatever. And I always bring it back to the analytics and let them know that, like, you know, hosting is pretty much like you set it up and then you're solid if you made a good choice. Really what it turns into for you is the analytics. So people don't really, I've not seen a lot of knowledge out there or recommendations that are kind of like, it all seems to be focused on like the front end of the deal and not the back end of the deal about why you're going to actually be visiting Simplecast, like, you know, every other day or, you know, your dashboard on there. It's not because you're publishing episodes daily, unless you're JLD or something like that. It's because of the analytics you want to understand. So I always tell them, consider both of those facets, not just the setup, but the longevity and the tool that you're investing in.
Don't forget that kick-ass customer service.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. You have to think about the service as well. Who is behind the product? Who's behind the service that you're paying for? And this, I challenge everybody to think about where you spend your money and do they truly support what you support and what do you want beyond just paying for this service. So you mentioned it, it's just not just about setting it up. It's also about the analytics. It's also about the team and how invested they are in supporting you and getting to where you want to get to. And then the community that they're willing to connect you with. So it's just beyond that of just, here's your hosting account. If you have any questions, email us and we'll maybe get to you. We have over here at Simplecast, like a chat box that you can instantly get in touch with our customer support. And even beyond that, like I would like to say we go beyond any other hosting company that I've experienced. And I've been in the space for about 7 years. I've tried a couple in the past, and some of them, it takes them 3 days to get back to you. Others take hours or even
if at all.
If at all. Right. Exactly. And over here at Simplecast, we have the average time to get responded by, one of our support team members is less than 3 minutes. And for the most part, we're going to hit, like, you're going to be responded to within a minute. But if it's a super busy day, okay, maybe 3 minutes, but less than 3 minutes for sure, you'll be attended to. And it's not just, what do you want? Get out of here. It's no, like, how's your day? How's everything going? Tell us about your show. Okay, cool. Are we good here? Great. If you have any questions further than this, just let us know.
You get Mike Murphy telling you, did you know you could do this with the Slice tool in Adobe Audition? Or did you think about planning this for your podcast? No, you get great people that you're talking to. So it's the caliber of people and it's that attention to detail and just investing in the individual podcaster, but also, you know, it's been really interesting to watch how much Simplecast has invested in podcasting with the capital P. And every time I get a chance to talk with Brad and Janine, it's along those lines. Like, you know, how can we work together to help? And, you know, along the lines of this podcast, how can we all, you know, raise the tide together? And podcasting in one way or another gets better for all of us, not just one company or one individual. So I've seen that time and again with your leadership, with your team and the community.
Awesome. Yeah. The more you invest into your customers, the more they invest in you and your industry. And in turn, that keeps everybody afloat and everybody is, you know, housed and fed and it goes beyond that. And I would like for more companies to think that way, to think beyond the dollars and the customers. Think about how much you're investing into your own industry to keep it alive. And this is a fairly new, I know it's been around since 2014, but it's still a baby and we have so much potential in shaping what this becomes.
Yeah. And support's obviously something that we hold in high regard and it's very important to us, and not to be competitive with you, but our response time is very close. So we can compare offline, but yeah, I mean, to us, it was like, as a newer company, we got to control what we can, and there's so many factors involved that are totally outside our control. So the way that we treat people, address situations, good or bad, we had to put our best foot forward in that regard. And we certainly have seen that from you. And so, that, and you know, it's what we got to do. Cause unfortunately I think a lot of podcasters have felt like some of them have been burned before. Some of them have, they don't want to be tested on for 2 years or something like that. But it is amazing how, support still is somewhat of a differentiator. It's certainly been that way for us. You know, and so has that been a differentiator for Simplecast though? I mean, it's, I mean, you've been our host, but to be honest, that's the only host we've used. So we've only had it. So maybe we're spoiled by the good experience.
Yeah. You know, multiple times, when I was in support, people would start just, hey, what makes you different from XYZ? And just by answering them within that less than 3 minute time frame, and they would be so surprised, like, whoa, you're actually real? And I'm like, yes, I am real. And so that would start the, like, the great impression. But then time and time again, a lot of the feedback is not just our product. It is the support that we give and how friendly we are, number one, because I guess there's a lot of negative notation or negative responsive, and how I think that the morale in other companies, just how it's exuded through customer service, is a little rude.
Different vibe.
So we just, yeah, different vibe. And a lot of the times we just get those compliments. I'm not trying to talk bad about any other company. I'm just sharing a lot of the response that we get is, you guys are super friendly. You guys are really quick. And I'm just so happy that I'm talking with a real person versus just an automated response. And I'll get answered in the next 24 hours or when everybody's back online. We do sleep, so I'll say that, but that's the response that we get time and time again. And I think it is one of our stronger suits of in the podcast hosting and analytic game, is that we have a strong customer support I don't know what the word is, efforts. I don't know. We're there for our customers.
Well, and I think for you personally, I mean, I don't, much of your team we do know, and they're all wonderful people, but you specifically, I think it comes from a real genuine place because you really love this stuff. You love podcasting, you love helping podcasters. And I think it all comes back to what you said earlier about, these conversations being important to you and you, them having an impact on you when you were younger. What were those conversations, if you can remember, or at least who were the hosts, who were the guests? Like, what was that impact, if you can go back in time, take us back in time with you?
I think it wasn't so much like what was the conversations that changed me. It was more of taking me out of my own head and entertaining me, educating me. That just like wowed me about podcasting, and that there was a bigger world out there than talk radio of politics, talk radio of the news, or talk radio of just nonsense that doesn't add much value than just a giggle here and there. So I think that's what really wowed me about podcasting, is that people are having in-depth conversations or just different conversations, letting me know that there is a lot of opportunity out there. There's a lot of ways to learn, and it's at our fingertips. It's through our phone. Even back then, when I had the iPhone where you had to plug it into the computer to sync up your library, that in itself was worth it because I was learning more than just the lyrics of a top 40 song or politics that I didn't really want to hear about. I wanted something positive. I wanted to feed my brain, and podcasting did that. And I think the other aspect to podcasting was what you don't get in radio, and this is not a bash on radio either. It's just that podcast hosts and the people behind them are also invested into the audience. So they're most likely to text back through a tweet, Instagram. They interact with you. Like, the interaction alone was like, whoa, like, kind of like, you know, how some customers have told us, like, you're real. I felt that way with podcast hosts at some point in the beginning. I would listen to them and didn't know I can reach out to them. And I forgot when, but one time somebody was throwing like a meet and greet in LA. I forget who it was. It's so long ago. But I remember just getting a reply back of like, whoa, it's exciting that you'll be there. You know, don't forget blah, blah, blah. I totally forget everything, but I just know that email changed my whole perspective on not just consuming podcasts, but interacting with the host too.
like, oh, wow, this is actually an open dialogue and ongoing conversation. I caught one glimpse of it that they hit record on, but like this person's actually open and like accessible. So yeah, that is kind of a magical thing that I hope every listener gets to experience, because it is a superpower of podcasting, almost the same way that when Twitter first came out, people talk about, oh, wow, now I can get a hold of Lady Gaga or like LeBron James. If I'm clever enough or I strike that right timing or right chord, like I can get somebody to like my thing or respond, hopefully. And that is definitely an ongoing thing in podcasting. And I hope that listeners make that transition and know that they can at least, interact with their host, because a lot of shows have, you know, a lot of creativity added to them because of the listener contribution. So I hope that dialogue's open for people.
Yeah, I always encourage listeners to always just send an email saying thank you or I'm listening, because sometimes it could be a silent medium on the other end. Like, whoa, I just published the episode. I see downloads, but who are they? And one strong tip from a podcasting perspective that I got from Cliff Ravenscraft, he's a friend of mine. He gave me a strong tip years ago, and he said, try to learn at least the name, 10 names of those who listen to your show. And if you can learn those names, then you know you're doing a great job of interacting with them, connecting with them beyond just publishing and hoping that they listen. There's somebody else listening on that other end. So try to connect with them. See if you can, by the end of this year, name 10 people who are listening to your show. And that in return just changes the whole experience, not just for you, but also for the listener.
Where can our listeners, if they don't already know Addie on social or at the inside the podcast community, she's super awesome. Take our word for it. Where can the good people find you, Addie?
So thepodcastplanner.com is going to be the easiest, because that's everything you're going to find about me. It has the links to all my social channels, which is very easy. It's also Podcast Planner. So just go to thepodcastplanner.com. I'll be launching my show, Modern Vintage Radio, again, August 1st. So stay tuned for that.
Sweet. Looking forward to that. Glad we got to plug in the podcast. We talk so much stuff. You are a podcaster as well, not just a planner.
Yeah. So I like to talk too.
We'll get you back on to talk about that show and pick it up from there. How's that sound?
For sure. That sounds good.
Thank you so much, Addie.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of Between Two Mics with Zach and Rock from Squadcast.
The best way to record remote podcast interviews like today's in studio quality.
Visit bit.ly/squadpod to check out our resources page, where you can download your free remote interview checklist.